This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
The game is over when the horn sounds. The analysis ends when you say it does. This is Overtime Open Line. Oilers hockey is brought to you by the Butcher Shop at Friesen Brothers. And now, the Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. Here's Reed Wilkins on the official voice of your Edmonton Oilers. 630 Chess.
The Edmonton Oilers go 0-4 against the Vancouver Canucks this season, and the Canucks on the verge of clinching first place in the Pacific Division. 3-1 Vancouver takes it tonight as the Oilers' record drops to 48-25-6 on the season. Their first regulation loss on home ice since they were beaten 6-3 by Calgary back on February 24th. 12 games since then. The Oilers had gone 10-0-2, but a very good Vancouver team able to figure out Rogers' place this evening. Casey DeSmith stops 32 out of 33. Previously in Edmonton, he had a 37-save performance back on October 14th as the Canucks won the second game of the season 4-3. Hope you're having a great Saturday night. 3 minutes after 11, along with Rob Brown, I'm Reed Wilkins. We're in Studio 99 for Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. Good game, Rob. It went back and forth, a bit of punch, counterpunch throughout the game, but the Canucks with, able to finish the extra chance. Obviously, their third goal was into an empty netter, and I thought, not that the Oilers didn't do this, because, again, I did think it was a pretty well-played game for the most part, but the Oilers did get 33 shots, but DeSmith good. Not a lot of second chances. The Canucks, I thought, very good, you know, in their that home plate area, as you call it, around their own net.
Well, the Canucks went out and picked up some big D-men. And you think of Soucy and Zadorov. I mean, both monsters out there. They got Myers already, who's at about 6'7" as well. We saw last year in the playoffs what Vegas does. They just clog up in front of their own net, and they'll let you stay on the outside. When the puck comes through, they don't allow you a second or a third opportunity. And the Canucks were very good at doing that today. DeSmith, when there was a second chance, DeSmith was good. But the Canucks, they have a good hockey club. And just talking upstairs to some of the press people between periods, the Canucks are, when they get the lead, they're a very tough out. They can play the style they want to play. They get pucks in deep. They're very disciplined. Rick Tocchet has them playing smart, low-event hockey. So you didn't see the two-on-ones or the odd man breaks given up. The Oilers had to earn every opportunity that they got on net. So the Canucks, I thought, played well. I thought the emotion level from both teams was very good in this game. It picked up much more than we saw last night. And just the goal at Suter scored. That just was a huge goal. That was one where now all of a sudden the Oilers needed to score three to win the hockey game. And that was just too much against a team that plays good defensive hockey and had a goaltender dialed in.
Yeah, and the Oilers without McDavid again, so 1-3-1 for the season without McDavid, 1-1-1 in this last three-game stretch. And, I mean, clearly they miss him. I'll state the obvious there. But, you know, the new number one line of Drysdale, Nugent, Hopkins, and Hyman didn't get a goal last night, turned into an overtime loss against the Coyotes, didn't get a goal tonight against the Canucks. We're not accustomed to seeing that from who's on the Oilers' top line, because usually McDavid is one of those three guys.
Well, I mean, in the last, 6 weeks, 7 weeks, Connor's been averaging, two and a half points a game. So their first line is, it's almost like you have a 2-0 lead before the game starts because you know what Connor's going to do. I thought they created plays in the third period. I know that Bob and Jack talked about it. There's probably about three or four really nice plays set up by Leon Draisaitl that exploded off the defenseman's stick when they were sneaking in. So those are plays that don't normally go for night. I mean, usually they're getting something out of it. It just was one of those nights where they were just a little off offensively. And when you play a good defensive team and a team that's got a goaltender that is playing as well as DeSmith did tonight, you can't be a little off. You've got the passes have to connect. The taking the puck to the net, it can't roll off your stick. And we saw that a number of times. But part of that also is the play of the Vancouver Canucks. There was no chance tonight where the Oilers were in the offensive zone where you weren't pestered. You didn't have time and space. And that's what you got to expect against a good hockey club, a team that's ramping up for the playoffs. I hope these two teams play in the playoffs. I hope that's the second round matchup because there's a lot of star power. But as we saw tonight, both teams are very disciplined and can play good defensive hockey.
Well, the goal scorers were Lafferty, Kane, Suter, and Joshua into the empty net. So, now I know Kane's up to 24 goals, but oddly enough, the biggest stars in this game, their names were for both teams. I mean, we just talked about the Oilers top line. Miller, Pettersson, guys like that, Hughes, their names. Not they didn't have good games, but they weren't the guys that wound up scoring tonight.
And so we expected this to be a playoff-style hockey game with both teams playing low-event hockey. And we've talked in playoffs that it's always the unlikely guy that scores the big goal. You need a fourth-line guy or a third-line or the fifth defenseman. In the Vegas, was it Zach Whitecloud scored a huge goal, I believe, last year against the Oilers. You need those unsung heroes to come through. And in tonight, in this game, that's what it was, especially for the Vancouver Canucks, because I thought the Oilers did a really nice job against the Pettersson line. JT Miller, who's having a fantastic season, he and Besser on the same line. A fairly quiet night. But that's also Rick Tocchet hockey. They scored two goals early. Those players didn't have to take any chances. That's why when you play the Vancouver Canucks, you want to get the lead, because when they get the lead, and they're not the LA Kings, but they are very good and play very low event, not give you much type of hockey, and we saw that on display tonight.
It's still possible, but extremely unlikely for the Oilers to finish first in the division. The point differential, 107-102 in favor of Vancouver. The Oilers' max they could reach is 108, so Vancouver would have to lose every game in regulation time, and the Oilers would have to go undefeated.
Yeah, and they play Calgary next.
Calgary and Winnipeg.
So they need 1 point against Calgary. I mean, this is where if the Oilers somehow would have got this into overtime, got at least 1 point, Winnipeg's good. And Vancouver going in the last game of the season to Winnipeg, that's a tough win for the Vancouver Canucks. But the Oilers needed to get a point at least.
The Oilers might have pulled their goalie in overtime, too.
It's whether you trust you can out, if you can, in a shootout.
Overtime, I'm saying.
But no, I understand. Yeah, yeah. I have no problem with that at all. I mean, a 4-on-3 power play in overtime, especially what usually happens is you catch the opposition. They don't have their three penalty killers out there. So you got three guys who aren't used to playing 3 versus 4. And you can catch them in an awkward situation. Unfortunately, we didn't get to see that because we didn't get that second goal to tie it up. And you know who almost did tie it up, though, is Evander Kane, who had the tip early in the game, scored his goal. It was in the last 3 minutes of the game. There was a shot on net. He got a piece of it.
Yep.
Unfortunately, the puck went up and over the glass. But Evander Kane was one of the players I thought that stood out for the Oilers tonight. He had a very good game.
He was the third star tonight. He had the Oilers' goal, his 24th of the season. Lafferty with a goal for Vancouver, the second star. I gave you DeSmith's stats earlier. He's the fourth star. He's the first star. Rob and I picked the fourth star for Jandell Homes, Alberta's premier modular home retailer.
Well, it was a quiet game. It was a low-event game. There wasn't a whole lot going offensively, so I'm going to go with Stuart Skinner. I thought he had a strong game. Gave his team a chance to win.
A couple of great saves. First period especially.
Yeah, right in the slot, one-timer, diving out at him with his glove. That was a wonderful save.
All right, Canucks win at 3-1. Let's go at the mic for Edmonton International Airport. Fly nonstop to over 50 destinations. Fly EAA.com/nonstop. Here's Oilers head coach Chris Knobloch.
How do you feel your team play tonight?
I thought we got off to a tremendous start. I thought the energy was high and spent a lot of time in the offensive zone. And then, the momentum of, I think after we had a power play, kind of took that away. And then in the second period, it just didn't feel like we were able to, didn't make many mistakes, but we weren't able to advance the puck very well and get into the offense to really get some more scoring chances.
Chris, down the stretch, and specifically in the playoffs where you play the same team all the time, maybe we usually see more matchups. They really tried to get that Lindholm matchup tonight. Are you a guy that, do you worry about that more in the playoffs? Do you look at the cat and mouse and the matchup game a little bit harder in the playoffs than you would in the regular season?
If it's against our not in our favor, then we want to stay away from the matchups. If it's taking away the flow of our team, I don't want to hide away from matchups. I think there are certain times where we want to, and other times we just want to play. So I wasn't concerned about it tonight.
You build a team, you know, with Connor McDavid on it. It's obvious to say that you're not as good when he's not playing. That's just fair. But you build a team that gets momentum from power plays and gets momentum from when he plays. When you don't have him, is it hard to figure out all the ways to give your team some energy and some juice that he brings?
Well, he's a game breaker when he's touched the puck and when things are flat, when things aren't going well. Just one possession, one play can change the dynamic of the game. And, there's a reason why he's the best player in the league and the impact that he has with this team. Tonight we only scored one goal, but I thought we had opportunities to get more than that. And a lot of credit to their goaltender who played well. But, we played three games without him, and obviously we are a better team. We score goals easier. But, I don't think there's cause for worry, or I think there's other guys who can chip in a little bit more.
Is there an upside to these three games and giving those guys the ice time and the responsibility and just having to do it themselves?
Yes and no. I think there's opportunities for guys to step up and show what they can do. And there's also, it's also taken away of, what are our lines going to look like when Connor comes in? And there's going to be some more line juggling. And I don't know. I think it's good to overall that guys do get an opportunity. But obviously, it's nice to have them back and get our momentum and playing the way we want to play.
Now that you're locked in for these last three games, you're going to be second place specific. You can't fall. You're probably not going up. Does it change the way you structure your lineup or the way you coach, the way you approach the last three games?
Yeah, we'll look at that. I think it is definitely an opportunity to give guys rest if it's needed. Giving guys a little more responsibilities in certain situations, and Dylan being an opportunity to keep on playing and show us what he got, and we'll assess those. Yes, possibility of being a call up, and obviously Broberg will be somebody that we'll consider, and we'll see.
Does it matter? You lost every game to Vancouver this year. Does the team say, "Oh, we couldn't beat them in the regulars"? Once in the regular season, do you have to beat a rival at least one game in the regular season before you go into the playoffs?
Well, three of those four games happened at the beginning of the season, so long ago that I don't think anyone really remembers what happened there. I think tonight we'll look at it and see if it was a competitive game, and we'll look at things that we could have done better. And they're a good hockey team, and we'll have to look very hard on how to beat them, but we'll find a way.
Hectic schedule here, sorry. And, I just wonder where you feel your team's at from an energy perspective right now.
We're just starting this 6-9, so I think we're fine. Anytime you play 3-4, it is difficult, but I think we'll be fine, and especially with depending on the importance of the games and the standings, we have the opportunities to rest guys if they need it.
I know it's about trying to get the team game in good shape heading towards the playoffs. Is there anything in these losses that is a flag for you? Anything creeping into your game that you think you want to take care of here before the end?
No, I can't think of anything. Nothing I'm going to say right now. Obviously, when you look at the tape and you talk to the coaches, there'll be things that we'll be addressing before our game on Monday. But right now, I'm not going to point anything out.
Chris, you've seen more of the energy and production you'd like from Kane here down the stretch, and a good sign for you maybe heading into the
playoffs? Yeah, no, he can be a difference maker. He's the physicality, the ability to score a key goal, you know, like tonight. That's an important goal and a very skilled goal. It's few can do. Going to the net, being able to deflect that in, you know, he had some other chances. You know, he's been part of three goals, four in the last, our last three in the last two games. And, that's a good sign because in the playoffs, you know, in the regular season, he helps us win games. He's a difference maker. And it's going to be even more important to how well he's playing in the playoffs because he is a guy that can change the game.
How would you characterize the chance that McDavid is ready for your next game?
As I said before, he's day-to-day, and we talked to him after this game and talked to him before, and you know, but we'll probably have a better idea tomorrow. He'll come in and see our training staff and give us an indication on playing Monday and what the doctors suggest is the best decision going forward.
All right. No practice tomorrow for the Oilers, but that doesn't mean players who might need a treatment or a look at something don't come to the rink. So that sounds like the case with McDavid tomorrow. Do sometimes, you would have been through this, Rob, do sometimes injured players wind up at the rink, maybe not more often, but they still come to the rink and probably different times or a different pace to the day if you're getting treatment or getting stuff looked
at? Well, I played for teams where the coaching staff didn't want the injured players around the regulars. So if you had a 10:30 practice, you would have to be there at 8 a.m., get your treatment, get your workout, and be gone before the regulars come. It was weird, but they said they didn't want the, if you weren't going to be healthy enough to play, then we don't want you in and around your teammates. And I always thought it was a horrible decision. That was old school. But you also, if you are injured, you do come at a different time because the trainers are busy.
Right.
So when they're getting the guys prepared, whether it's for practice, for a game, they want the injured players who aren't involved with that to come at a different time so that they don't monopolize the time of the players who are preparing for a practice or a game. But, yeah, it is. And you're usually there longer. You're there for practice. You're coming early for treatment. You're working out on your own. It's lonely. It's very lonely being an injured player. It's not fun at all.
Yeah, well, McDavid was at, there was the video of him after the Vegas game of greeting the players after they came off the ice with Derek Ryan, who was scratched that night. So, yeah, they're, well, sometimes we see, unless they're really hobbled, we'll see injured guys up top occasionally.
Yeah, we do.
In the press box.
Yeah,
so.
We do a lot of, earlier in the season, the exhibition, you'll see them all up there.
All the scratch news,
it depends what rink. When I played at the old Igloo, you didn't want to go to the press box because you had to actually walk through the stands to get to it. So depending on how you were playing or how the team was, you didn't really want to greet a lot of people because sometimes it wasn't good. And guys like Mario and that couldn't go up if he was injured because he would be absolutely mobbed and never make it to the press box. But actually, I didn't see any of the players up in the press box tonight, so they may have been just, they got a pretty comfortable lounge to watch the game.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, yeah, it's very, very comfortable. Oilers lose 3-1 to the Vancouver Canucks, so Vancouver goes 4-0 against Edmonton this season. We have Fill the Net, presented by James H. Brown Injury Lawyers. When accidents happen, go to jameshbrown.com. It is a $100 donation to 630 Jet Santa's Anonymous tonight. It's $100 every time the Oilers score. All right, we'll have more reaction from the Oilers dressing room as Brendan Escott is getting us the audio from there. And you can check in at 780-496-0063. That is the hotline. Powered by CertainTeed, the pro's choice for roofing, siding, drywall, insulation, and ceiling system. CertainTeed Pro all the way. Canucks beat the Oilers 3-1. We're live in Studio 99. You're listening to Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line.
Oilers hockey is brought to you by the Butcher Shop at Friesen Brothers. This is the Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line on the official voice of your Edmonton Oilers, 630 Chad.
Both teams, Lang Lumber, CeCe, trying to avoid Bluer, gave it up, centering pass, oh, what a save, Skinner, he robbed McCabe, magnificent stop, best of the night by either tender. Stuart Skinner recording his save of the game for Crystal Glass, call 310-GLASS or visit crystalglass.ca. Jack Michaels on the call with 2:55 left in the first period, however, Skinner takes the loss tonight, Casey DeSmith gets the win, 3-1. Vancouver with the victory. DeSmith stopped 32 out of 33. Skinner stopped 24 out of 26. So his save percentage for this game was 923. I set the line at 880 for River Cree Resort and Casino. Excitement bet on it. Monique took the over and gets the $50 River Cree Resort and Casino gift card. I thought it was a well-goaltended game at both ends.
Yeah, I agree. I thought both goalies played very well. Casey DeSmith has been thrown into a lot of big games as of late as the Canucks star goaltender Demko has been out with injury. He looks like he's coming back soon, but give credit to DeSmith for coming in and twice stealing games here in Edmonton. And I thought Stuart Skinner was good. He got beat from a little bit of distance by Lafferty, but I thought that was a wonderful shot. No chance at all on the Suter one, and made a couple of big saves along the way. I thought it was a well-played game by both teams, where the Vancouver Canucks just found a little bit more offense.
Both teams 0-for-2 on the power play for Conlon Motorsports. To help get you out there, visit one of Conlon Motorsports' 4 locations across Alberta or online, conlonmotorsports.ca. The Oilers got a power play just over a minute into the game. They couldn't capitalize.
It's tough. I know that you think, well, right, we get a power play to start. We get a 1-0 lead, and everything's going to go well for you, but a lot of the players on the PP have not been on the ice yet. And the first time they're on the ice, you're put in a position where you're going to make skilled plays. It's much easier to just work hard than it is to make skilled plays. And I've always felt that in the first 5 minutes of a game, the penalty killers would have an advantage. And the Oilers' first power play unit did not look good. The second unit came out and actually just threw pucks on net and created a couple good scoring chances. But yeah, I've always found... I like to have the feel of the game in my hands, in my brain, before I get a power play. And the Oilers did not take advantage of that power play there. And ultimately, in a one-goal game, your power play goes nada. There's the difference, really, for the Edmonton Oilers, whose power play usually is a big factor in their wins.
3-1, the Canucks win it. Let's go back down to the Oilers' dressing room. Here's defenseman Vinny Desharnais.
Tight checking game, lots of hits. It got chippy here and there, but I thought we battled pretty hard.
I feel like, I mean, it's obvious some opportunity lost there. I think everybody knew what was on the line in the standings. Just maybe a thought on that result.
Well, like Zach and Fogey said, it's we lost it, and it doesn't really matter, you know. As long as we're in playoffs, and these type of games will get us ready for playoffs. Games like Vegas will get us ready as well. And we just got to build on it. Look at some tape. But I thought we battled pretty hard, and I think in all three zones we did some really good things.
Vinny, I know you probably want to win the division, but is that more important than anything? The fact that you feel like you can beat any team.
Yeah, I think we're the best team in the whole league. I think we proved it at times in this season, and it's kind of like the 16 game winning streak. You can win the whole league, and you can lose in the first round, and it doesn't mean anything. So I think these games they just get us ready, and I think it's good to go through adversity, and we'll be ready.
From a personal standpoint, having gone through the playoffs last year for the first time, how much more comfortable do you feel now heading into the postseason this year?
Yeah, I think I have more confidence in my game, obviously, and I think that the coaching staff trust me more. My teammates trust me more as well, and that goes a pretty long way. But again, I think I found my role here, and I'm just going to do everything I can to win every game.
Vinny Desharnais from the Oilers played 18:02 tonight, had a shot on goal and a couple of blocked shots. He got stung by a blocked shot, didn't he?
He gets stung by a blocked shot every...
Yeah,
both he did today, and so did Kulak. Kulak took one off the foot today as well. It is amazing with the number of bombs that are coming from the point that more defensemen don't leave games with foot injuries, but we have seen that a lot of them now wear the plastic molding or covering over their skates to give them a little added protection. But Vinny Desharnais is a big man, and he puts his big body in the way of shots. That's why he's a very important part of the penalty kill.
He mentioned the physicality of the game. According to the NHL.com stat sheet, 48 hits by the Canucks, every player with at least one. 39 by the Oilers. Oddly enough, Ekholm was not credited with a hit tonight. Sam Carrick had 5, CeCe with 6, Bouchard had 5. Actually, Bouchard was a little more physically involved than he often is for Vancouver. Pod Colson led them and the game. He had 7 hits in this one.
Yeah, I thought, well, he's part of the fourth line of the Vancouver Canucks, so I thought that line was effective. They get pucks in deep. The Canucks are a good team when they get the lead, and they just roll their lines. They get pucks in deep, and they're four lines deep. They're a good team. There's a reason they won the Pacific Division.
3-1, the Canucks take this one, so they are on the verge of clinching first place in the division. We'll go to the CertainTeed hotline. We have Sean standing by. Sean, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Thanks for taking my call. The Canucks have had a good year. I mean, I don't think anyone expected them to be in the position they are in first at the beginning of the year. I mean, I think Leon actually said that before the season, they're going to be really good. So credit to them. I mean, as an Oilers fan, I mean, I'm not too disappointed with this. I didn't, you know, I mean, we closed the gap within, like, you know, 3 points of Vancouver. But I think at this point, the health of Connor is important. And I guess it'll be interesting to see how we play out the next few games, because we've got 2 road games, if I'm not mistaken, correct? After the game against San Jose. So, I mean, you may play Connor that game against San Jose, but then, you know, just rest everyone. You know, maybe rest Dreisaitl, maybe rest, you know, Hyman for the last 2 games, because we're going to finish second and either playing Vegas or the Kings, right? You know, I think that's probably what I would do, but I just want to get your comments on that and see if that's probably what coach is thinking.
Yeah, well, the remaining schedule, you're right, San Jose here on Monday, at Arizona for the last time, likely, on Wednesday, and then at Colorado on Thursday. So we'll see if there's any positioning on the line in any of those games. There may not be, especially by Thursday. As Robert, Sean's right, they might try to rest some guys. I don't know if they can rest everybody in the same game of who's the extras they have. They have 2 extra forwards with Holloway here.
So if going forward, there can only be, unless there's some call-ups or something happens, there'd just be 2 players. And I know that Bob and Jack were talking at the end of the period, or at the end of the game, the guys that have got... that'll have 82 games this season don't want to sit out.
Right.
They want to play every game. You can manage the minutes of the players and not, you know, overload them with a 25, 26-minute night. But I don't know if there will be players being rested. I don't know if they'll sit Hyman out or if they'll sit Dreisaitl out. The pro hockey players, pro athletes, they want to play.
Yeah.
They don't want to sit in the press box. So... the most important, if there's anyone with a tweak or nursing anything, they will be out of the lineup. But all I believe, they will just keep running their lineup out there, play them minutes accordingly, and just try to keep on winning hockey games going into the playoffs.
Busy night in the NHL. LA, who at the moment, it looks like 3 years in a row, Edmonton, LA in the first round. We'll see what happens over the next week. But the Kings beat the Ducks 3-1. As we go to the scoreboard presented by Advantage Trailer Rentals, your one-stop source for commercial trailer rentals. Visit AdvantageTrailerRentals.com. Minnesota ringing up the Sharks 6-2. San Jose is here on Monday. Vital loss, I guess, for the Penguins. Mm-hmm. They needed a win. 6-4 Boston winning that one. Predators win again 6-4 against the Blue Jackets. Matthews got his 69th. As the Leafs rallied from a 4-1 deficit, but then settled for a single point. Red Wings take it 5-4 in overtime. Senators, I think I saw the Senators have beaten the Canadiens 9 times in a row, something like that. 5-4 in a shootout for Ottawa. Capitals, big win, 4-2 mm-hmm. over the Lightning. Flyers, big win, but probably too late. 1-0 against the Devils. Panthers beat the Sabres 3-2 in overtime. Reinhardt got his 55th. The Jets pound the Avalanche 7-0. They're going to play in the first round. Dallas beats Seattle 3-1, and the Rangers win in a shootout 3-0 against the New York Islanders. So the 8 playoff teams in the West are, of course, decided. Just some of the seeding is still to be decided. The Islanders, very close to having clinched. They have 90 points. They're 3rd in the Metro. Washington, Detroit, and Philly, all with 87 points. Washington has the tiebreaker, and Philly only has 1 game left. The other 2 teams have 2. Pittsburgh is still around with 86, but now they got to jump everybody else, so they'd have to win probably both their games and get some help. But it has turned into quite a race.
because Philadelphia and Washington really struggled for
Detroit
a stretch. Philadelphia and Detroit struggled. That allowed Pittsburgh and the Islanders. The Islanders were dead about 3 weeks ago, and then they won something like eight in a row to put themselves back in the conversation. So it looks like it may go down to the very end in the East and the West. We all know who's in. It's just a matter of who's playing. If anyone's trying to follow who the Oilers are playing in the first round, I think there'll be two games you want to follow. First, Vegas plays Colorado. I believe that's tomorrow. If Colorado wins that game, then it'll be the LA Kings. If Vegas does beat Colorado, then the next game to watch is the LA Kings play against the Minnesota Wild. If the Wild can upset the Kings, then the Vegas Golden Knights could be the Oilers' opponent. If the LA Kings beat the Minnesota Wild, then the Edmonton Oilers will be playing the Kings for the third straight year.
3-1, the Canucks win it tonight. We'll go back to the CertainTeed hotline. Jim, hope you're having a great night. Go ahead, please.
How are you?
Good.
Good. It was a very bad night for the Oilers tonight. They were awful. The Canucks totally outplayed their forwards and their D. Leon was a no-show. Completely did nothing. It just shows he's a one-man player, even if he's with McDavid or not. Knobloch got totally out-coached. Tocchet is 100% the better coach.
So how did he specifically get out-coached? I mean, I'm not arguing with you, but if you're going to say that, you have to back it up with evidence.
Well, look how Tocchet was doing his lines and everything. He was totally out-coached. The Canucks totally shut out the Oilers. They were just playing for them with a whole period. It was just really embarrassing for the Oilers. It was just awful. Just all the Canucks were doing was dumping it in, changing, dumping it in. And they were doing that for the entire period. And the Oilers couldn't do anything. Payne was yapping. Sure, he scored a goal, but he was a total yapper. He should actually maybe focus more on his play than yapping. And all I can say is...
Jim, can I ask you a question? Do you enjoy watching hockey? Because it doesn't sound like you really enjoy it.
Oh, I love playing hockey. I grew up playing hockey. Watching hockey. It's great. It just shows what a joke the Oilers are.
You really think they're a joke, eh? With 48 wins on the season. I don't think he liked being questioned.
I don't think he's an Oilers fan. I think he has another team that he cheers for.
Yeah, I think he might too.
He might be a Canuck fan. Hey, there's nothing wrong. The Canucks do have a very good hockey club.
They do have a very good team.
I'm not sure the Oilers are a joke, but... I do, and Quinn Hughes, I don't think Quinn Hughes was as good tonight as I have seen him in past games, but Quinn Hughes, to me, is going to win the Norris Trophy. He is that good hockey
player.
Yeah,
he's an excellent player. That was a good race when he and Hyman went up for that puck, eh?
Yeah, it shows you, again, how fast Hyman is, because Hughes is incredibly fast, but Hyman, when he gets going, and then there's the fear. It's like he's chasing you down. He's like a train coming at you. If he hits you, you're done, but I thought, it was a good hockey game that the Vancouver Canucks found a way to score one more than the Edmonton Oilers and take a very important 2 points.
All right, whenever the Oilers score five or more in a game, we turn on the Japanese Village goal light on 630ched.com. That would allow you to print up a coupon for a free appetizer at Japanese Village. Save $10 on all certified Angus beef New York steak dinners. For details, visit jvedmonton.ca. You're going to hear from Zach Hyman and Warren Fogle. We are live in Studio 99. It's Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line.
Live Oilers hockey is brought to you by the Butcher Shop at Friesen Brothers. This is the Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. Here's Reed Wilkins on the official voice of your Edmonton Oilers. 630 Chad.
Lafferty late in the first period. Suter with a reply from Kane in the second period, and then Joshua into an empty net. 3-1 Vancouver wins it. By the way, the Oilers botched the pull there quite badly.
Well, A, they didn't have control of the puck.
Right.
B, they never got their guy onto the ice. So really it was a 5-on-5 with the Vancouver Canucks having the puck and the Edmonton Oilers having no goalie.
Because I'm assuming the extra attacker was wondering if Skinner was going to go back, because he did stop second.
He did, and you can't jump on early or you're in trouble anyway. Yeah. So... not that it really would have mattered. The puck was on the far side away from the bench. And Joshua made no mistake. He's having a fantastic year. That's, I think, his 17th or 18th. That's pretty good for a third-line guy who plays big and physical. But, yeah, no, it was an odd pull at that time just because the Oilers did not have control of the puck. and the Vancouver Canucks took advantage.
All right, we got Baz on the Certainty Hotline. Baz, go ahead, please.
All right, thank you. I'm a big Rob Brown fan, and I just remember all his Andre Agassi mullet hair and his windmill celebrations.
Yeah, well, I don't celebrate as much, and I don't have as much hair, but I appreciate that.
Okay, and did you know Reed had Andy Moog on, I guess as a guest last year? I don't know this year or not, but... Do you know Rob Brown had 7 hat tricks? 2 hat tricks were against Andy Moog, including natural hat trick.
Okay,
I did not know that.
I may have looked it up. I think Andy hasn't been on this season, but he has been on in the past for sure.
He was a great goaltender.
Yeah. Fantastic. So next time comes on, please mention that with Rob Brown.
That always makes a goalie feel good about himself. Hey, remember when Rob scored 3 on you twice? I'm sure he stopped me a lot more than I scored on him.
Anyway, I just a quick question. So Oilers made to the conference finals 2 years ago. They lost to the Cup champs last year, and now with this team, is this the best team that they have? That do you think they can win it all, or were the previous last year or the 2 seasons ago were they the best teams? I'm just kind of curious. Like, is this the best team that they have right now? Thank you for taking my call. Cheers.
A great call. Good question. I think this is the best Oilers team. I think they're a little more hardened playoff-wise. I think they're healthy, for one. Connor's going to be coming back. The additions of guys that have been there, like Corey Perry, having Ekholm for the full season going into the playoffs, adding depth players like Carrick and Henrique. So, yeah, I do believe this is the best team that the Oilers have had. It doesn't guarantee anything, but I do believe they are well-suited for a long run. But there are going to be obstacles. The Canucks are good. The Dallas Stars are very good. The Jets have a good team. And Vegas is, again, the Stanley Cup champions. But I do believe the Oilers have what it takes to win a Stanley Cup.
We got Frank on the line as well. Frank, go ahead.
Well, thanks for all the analysis all season. I've enjoyed listening to you guys. I especially like Rob going against Stoff with all his statistical knowledge. I think the best line of the year was when Rob said his mother could see what was happening on the ice. He didn't need the stats for it. So it's been enjoyable. I'm almost glad to some degree that the standings are set, because I think it'll allow the Oilers to really focus on preparing for what's coming up in the playoffs, regardless of whether they have home advantage or not. I think it's going to be important that they're mentally tough and that they're not suffering, and I heard you guys use the word, from fatigue, both mentally and physically. And I think that's what the coach and all of the staff have to do, is make sure that they manage their time if they're playing, or if they're not playing, that they stay on top of things, and that they're ready to fire on all cylinders when the playoffs start.
Yeah, good point. I mean, to me, and I've said this now for a few months, the Oilers are going to be a playoff team. I don't care where they finish in the standings. The most important thing for me is health. If the Oilers have good health, I think they can go on a long run. I think teams that win Stanley Cups are teams that get good breaks, play well, good goaltending, and stay healthy.
3-1 Vancouver beating the Oilers tonight in a pretty entertaining and well-played game. Let's go back down to the Oilers dressing room. Here's Warren Fogle.
What do you think was the difference tonight, Warren?
I thought it was a competitive game. Two teams getting ready for playoffs, and they just were able to capitalize on their chance more than us.
Does it feel like, a bit of opportunity lost there? Like, I think we knew what the implications were in the standings. I'm sure you guys wanted this one for that reason.
Yeah, we knew this was an important game. We're just trying to play the right way heading into playoffs. And, I thought we played strong, and, there's areas to improve on. But obviously disappointed we didn't get the 2 points.
Does this change at all your outlook towards the last 3 games of the season? You're locked in second. First place is out of reach. Does it make you think differently about them?
I don't think so. I think everyone here is competitors, and at the end of the day, you want to show up to work and give it your all. So these next 3 games, you want to build playing the right way heading into the playoffs.
I'm not revealing any state secrets. You guys are a better team when Connor McDavid's in the lineup. So how have you felt you guys have been without him, and what kind of a boost do you think it's going to be when he comes back?
Yeah, you know, obviously you're not filling that hole. You know, he's the best player in the world. And, you know, as a group, you know, gave guys more opportunities, more ice. And, you know, as a group to dig in a little bit more, you know, I think it was good in the sense, you know, to realize, you know, playing that team game, you know, we can play with anyone. And obviously adding Connor back makes us a much dangerous team.
Warren, can you explain how hectic or taxing this schedule has been over the last little while for you guys?
Yeah, definitely not ideal, but, you know, out of our control. And, you know, at the end of the day, we show up here with a smile on our face, and, you know, we're really fortunate enough to play in the NHL. But there's no excuses during an 82-game season, and you just try to work hard. But, yeah, certainly not ideal.
All right, Warren Fogel. Well, Robin, that was a concern we identified even a few weeks
yes.
ago. What was the end of this season? The 6-9 and then really five games in a week starting yesterday. Well, they're halfway through it, I guess. But, you know, it is a lot of hockey crammed in, and it comes at any point. A little unfortunate. It's right before the playoffs. But as Warren said, there's nothing they can do.
There's nothing to do, but, I mean, having lost today, though, takes a little less stress off the last three games. I mean, he talked about we want to play the proper way. We want to go in feeling good about ourselves. But going into the last two games, had they won today and a chance to win the Pacific, now maybe you're throwing Connor and Leon out there for 25, 26 minutes and playing them back-to-back. They don't have to worry about that. They can worry strictly about preparing themselves for the playoffs and going in both healthy and well-rested as much as you can with the way it's set. There's really no stress on the Oilers in these last three games because I just can't see the Vancouver Canucks not stealing a point at least from the Calgary Flames and yeah. giving the Oilers an opportunity to jump over them in the standings.
Yeah, and the first playoff game will probably be Sunday the 21st. I mean, there's a concert here Saturday the 20th, and I think they'd give all the Pacific teams play on Thursday.
Yeah, there's only, well, seven of the eight teams from the Western Conference play on Thursday, so I don't know what Western Conference team wants to start on the Saturday. So, I mean, there will be teams that will be playing wherever they are on the Thursday and jumping on a plane possibly right after the game and flying to the next city.
Right.
So, I'll steal the word that Warren Fogel used. It's not ideal the way that this season has ended for some teams and how quickly they're getting into the playoffs.
All right, 3-1, the Canucks take it tonight. You're also going to hear from Zach Hyman. We are live in Studio 99. This is Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line.
Oilers hockey is brought to you by the Butcher Shop at Friesen Brothers. This is the Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line on the official voice of your Edmonton Oilers, 630 Chad.
For the first time since February 24th, the Oilers have been beaten in regulation time on home ice. That night it was a 6-3 loss to Calgary. Tonight it is a 3-1 loss to the Vancouver Canucks. The Oilers had been 10-0-2 on home ice since then. But tonight the Canucks win it, so Vancouver still needing a point here, but very likely going to finish first in the Pacific, which would lock the Oilers into second place. Let's go back down to the Oilers dressing room. Here's winger Zach Hyman.
Zach, just maybe a thought on the way the game went and what the difference was for you guys.
Tight game, obviously. Yeah, I thought we played well. The stretches where they played well, just a tight playoff-like game.
So you're 0-4 against Vancouver this year, but three of games were earlier in the season when you guys weren't at your best. Tonight there's no Connor. How much do you read into when being winless against this team?
Not at all. Different game in the playoffs.
Look, you have three games left. Yeah, there's a super small chance you can finish first. What's your approach in the final three games? What do you look to focus on?
Just getting ready for the playoffs. I think that's the goal. Doesn't really matter. Like, you want to have home ice. We've secured home ice for the first round. At some point, you're going to have to win games on the road. So we'll see.
So that would be the question. Does it change the tenor of the last three games of the season? You're locked into second now. First place appears to be done. Does it kind of just change how you approach the last few games?
Not as a player. I mean, I don't know if it changes how the coaching staff sees it, but as a player, whenever you're out there, you want to play your best because you can't just, you know, lollygag your way into the playoffs. You have to be on your game. And, you know, there are times in my career where I was locked into a position for 20 games, and that's a lot harder than you know, 3 games. So, yeah, we're good.
Zach, you're going through a lot of games in a very few nights here. What's the stretch kind of, how would you define the stretch for this team and just how taxing it's been for the club?
I mean, everybody plays 82, but obviously schedule maker made it a little harder on us towards the end of the year. Having said that, considering where we are at the start of the year to have be locked into a playoff spot and have home ice secured, I think we would have taken that at this, considering where we were. So, I mean, still time left. We'll see what happens. But I think we're in a great spot.
What do you think of the offense overall tonight for your group? Did you like how much you generated, created?
I thought we created just as much as them. Maybe more. I mean, I don't think there were that many grade A chances both ways. I think it was a pretty tight checking game, similar to the playoffs. So margins are thin. They got, you know, it was a nice tip goal. But yeah, I mean, I thought Sue played great. I thought their goalie played great. So just a low event game.
Yeah, Casey DeSmith gets the win with 32 saves. Skinner made 24. Canucks also got an empty netter. So 3-1 Vancouver wins it. And, yeah, they go 4-for-4 against the Oilers in the regular season. Thanks to Brendan Escott for getting us all the interviews from the Oilers dressing room. Our next game broadcast presented by the Butcher Shop at Friesen Brothers. Final home game of the regular season for the Oilers. Fan appreciation night at Rogers Place. 6 o'clock faceoff show. Game at 7:30 on Monday against the San Jose Sharks. Thanks to our game day engineer here at Rogers Place, Troy Bowler. Thanks to Angie Quinnell, our studio producer back at 6:30, Ched. We've been live in Studio 99. On behalf of Rob Brown, I'm Reed Wilkins. Thanks for listening to Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his 6-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his 2-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.